Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to This Week in Worthless Knowledge. My name's Johnny Goodtimes.
And I am Nat the Truth Jones.
And we have found a way to get the ball rolling again.
Yeah, we have. It's called our children being old enough to be out of the house for a couple hours.
Right, right. And we are planning on taking full advantage of that fact and just absolutely coming back. I'm trying to think of like all-time great comebacks. You know, people that you kind of thought, like the Johnny Cash. When Johnny Cash came back, like people thought he was done. He was finished. He would never make music in this town again.
Right.
And then Rick Rubin got him, and then next thing you know, he's got like the number one hit on the Billboard charts.
Look at Henry Winkler.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he just won an Emmy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And if Henry Winkler can do it, we sure as hell can take the world by storm. This is I don't know. People don't like to use the words triumphant comeback. Tsunami. Those are the things that come to mind immediately. But anyway, this is a
comeback tsunami. I think that should be the name of the show and possibly the name of a band we've
started. It just decimates everything around it. Anyway, this is a big deal. We've been trying to record some stuff detailing life in our hometown of Nassauwatticks in the 1980s, and we're going to do a little more of that. But we have not recorded This Week in Worthless Knowledge in several months, and we have actually gotten a couple Facebook messages and messages in general from some pretty diehard committed fans that wanted to see us come back immediately. And although we're not doing it immediately, we're doing it now, and so we hope you guys enjoy what we've got laid out for you. We're going to be covering the first week of October, although one of mine I'm going to cheat a little bit on, because although October is involved, it actually started in late September, but it was just too good for me to pass up on.
Who was it? I feel like maybe it was Backstreet Boys or somebody like that, or maybe it was New Kids on the Block, and they with the immortal words, "This one's for the fans."
Are you talking about "This one's for the children"?
The
song by New Kids on the Block, the Christmas song? One of the truly like the worst songs ever written, but is that right. What you're talking about?
Yeah, well, by fans, I meant children. This one's for the children.
Right. Exactly. This episode is for the children, except at least of the two segments that I'm doing. Well, at least one of the segments, totally not for the children. Just disregard that last comment.
Right, yeah, no, I think children actually won't enjoy the show at all. But we're doing it for them anyway.
Right, if your kids are around, turn on Netflix or something, because this is not going to be something that's going to keep them occupied. We are back. We had a nice little entertaining back and forth there. It was "This One's for the Children," in fact, the New Kids on the Block smash Christmas hit. And my favorite thing about that song is just that I don't know which of them. I'm going to say, for argument's sake, Donnie Wahlberg, let's say, was just really, really, really imploring that the public listen to the lyrics of the song. Just really take it in, digest it. This is far more than I thought we'd be talking about "This One's for the Children" on this episode, but you never know where the episode's going to take us.
No, that's why we've got so many fans, and that's why those fans have so many children.
Right, because this one's for them. Anyway, speaking of fans, speaking of radio, that's what our first one's going to be about. This actually started September 20th, 1982. You've probably heard about this. This is the type of story that you would tend to enjoy. This is a contest held by radio station WSAN 1470 on your dial in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And this was an opportunity for someone to win a brand new $18,000 mobile home. Times were tough in Allentown in 82, and so this was a really, really big deal. The song "Allentown" by Billy Joel kind of coincided with this and actually kind of accidentally brought a lot more attention to this competition. But anyway, the gist of the competition was that people would submit entries to be in the competition to win the mobile home, and they would draw three. And those three people would go live up on a billboard 30 feet above the freeway for as long as they could. And whoever the last guy left up there was would receive this mobile home. And so basically what it was like, they said it was a 48x8 section that they were living in, which is not too big. And it was kind of divided into three partitions. The contestants were not really encouraged to interact with each other, although I'm sure they could. So you kind of figure 16x8 was each of their living spaces. It's kind of like a cell, if you will.
They're up in front of a billboard?
They're up living on the ledge of a billboard over the freeway, 30 feet above the freeway. And, you know, they had a pulley system where they could get supplies up and down. And there was like a portable toilet up there and a tent. No shower, nothing like that. And anyway, the deal was like, who's going to stay up there the longest? And it's quite a story. If you don't know it, it's a really, really impressive story. You know, one of the, they ended up staying up there a really, really long time. They stayed up there through the winter. It dropped down to 0 degrees. There was a 2-foot snowstorm. They had to bring up portable heaters, you know, so the guys wouldn't die. And one of the guys in March, so that's 6 months after the contest started, was actually arrested for selling pot to an undercover officer from the billboard. I'm sure the only person ever to be arrested selling marijuana from a billboard to an undercover police officer. So anyway, that's how he got knocked out of the contest. And then by the end...
Yeah, wait.
What?
What was the undercover police officer doing on the billboard?
He wasn't on the billboard. He was down there and they were lowering... he lowered drugs and money through the pulley system. It sounds like it was a pretty serious case of entrapment for whatever it was worth. He was like, I'm a veteran, you're a veteran. Hey, do you got any joints? The guy sent him a joint down there and then the cop sent him $20 up and the guy's like, nah, I don't want your money. He's like, no, I insist. And then they arrested him. So anyway, that's how, after living on a billboard for 6 months, that's how that guy got the boot.
Oh, that's outrageous.
Oh, it's outrageous. Anyway, the other two guys lasted another 2 months and eventually the radio station agreed to call it a draw because they had both been up there like almost 9 months, 261 days. These guys lived up on top of this billboard above the freeway. And not only did they each get the mobile home, they sweetened the deal because it was such a big deal. They got so much publicity. This is a tiny little radio station that got all this international publicity. So not only did they get each get a brand new $18,000 mobile home, they each got a vacation and a brand new Chevy Chevette for their trouble. And so anyway, that was a pretty spectacular thing. And so I have two questions for you because the prizes, and by the way, if you don't know about this, you should read up on it. I'm giving you the bullet points, but it's a really amazing thing, thinking about somebody living over a billboard in Allentown for 261 days. So those prizes are maybe a little bit dated now. So I'm going to ask you two questions.
I don't have an 82 Chevette.
Chevy Chevette. Well, that's one of my questions. So my first question is this. Today, how long would you stay on a billboard 30 feet above the freeway in exchange for an $18,000 mobile home, a vacation, let's say like a week-long vacation somewhere nice.
Did they say where they went?
No, I just said a vacation. Let's assume it was like somewhere nice, Disney World maybe, and a brand new Chevy Chevette. For those three prizes, how long would you stay on a billboard 30 feet above the freeway? What's your max? Like, what would you do? There's going to be another question that I'm going to hit you with in a minute. But
I think my issue with that is that I'm not real crazy about heights.
No, me either. It would be terrifying.
Yeah, so 30 feet is really high. Like, that's...
Like that could kill a man.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially if you're falling into interstate traffic, which you would be.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of thinking, like, how long would I stay on my roof, which is more or less...
In order to win a Chevy Chevette and a fabulous vacation.
Right, but I wouldn't... But like, just the front portion of my roof. And, man, I just can't imagine doing it for a Chevy Chevette. And maybe that just goes to show that I'm spoiled rotten. I mean, maybe this is more of an indictment of me.
Your massive privilege?
Yeah, my privilege than it is of anything else. But I'm scared of heights, and I don't think I could sleep 30 feet up in the air.
Yeah, I'm assuming they could maybe – I mean, there was a tent. There is a tent. So, I mean, I suppose they could roll into their tent. So, and I'm also assuming there's probably a guardrail of some sort. Otherwise, there would just – I can't imagine – that there wouldn't be some sort of rail to keep you from falling. But I will say that it is an interesting thing. These guys were like, you know, times were so tough in Allentown and stuff. They were talking to the guys, you know, how long would you have stayed up there? And both the remaining guys were like, you know, at least 2 or 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah, like they were, it wasn't like these guys were about to break.
Right. I mean, unless somebody asked them to send them a joint. I'm still pretty pissed off about that.
Well, yeah, that was a felony.
I mean, I can only imagine what that guy 35 years. I mean, we need to get that guy on the show. The guy that got kicked off for giving the undercover cop a joint.
Yeah, yeah, he got royally screwed. I feel like that radio station owes him a Chevy Chevette.
Yeah, I mean, Allentown, well, let me tell you something. If we can get 100,000 followers on our Facebook page, you and I are going to chip in and buy that man a Chevy Chevette.
Almost new.
Right. Well, 1982.
Right, 1980, right. So by almost new, I mean the car will be 36 years old. Brand new, practically.
So right now we're at about 495 likes.
Right.
And if we can get to 100,000 likes, I'll repeat myself, Nat and I will buy that man a 1982 Chevy Chevette. So if you've got friends or family who might enjoy the podcast.
If each of the 495 of you that are currently our followers, I mean, if you think about it, that's like about 500. That's about half of 1% mm-hmm. of 100,000. Mm-hmm. So if each one of you were to get 199 people.
Of your closest friends.
Different people. They have to be all different people than the other followers. To do that, we will chip in and we'll present it to him on the air.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we'll actually record video of it, not just audio.
We will drive that Chevy Chevette to Allentown, because we assume he still must live there.
Well, and keep in mind, Allentown's not that far from where I am in Philadelphia. So this
we should probably go anyway just to see the billboard.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We should take a road trip to that billboard. But I mean, I think that, you know, I hate to use the term pyramid scheme. But if you can just...
Don't lie. You love using that term. It's one of your favorite terms.
If you can just get 199 of your closest friends to follow this Facebook page, each, all of you. I'm speaking to each and every goddamn one of you.
Like if even one of you doesn't do it this morning.
Yeah, like if one of you just... The other 494 will take up my slack. See, you're the problem. You're the thing preventing us from purchasing a 1982 Chevy Chevette and driving it to Allentown to make that guy feel like all of his efforts weren't in vain.
That guy who has a felony on his record, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, it's possible he can't even vote because of what happened.
Yeah.
His name's Dalton Young, just so you know. Just so we can, you know. Dalton, if you're listening, you know, props to you. Good job. Yeah. So
contact us, Dalton. If you're listening, contact us through the Facebook page, and then maybe we can get some of your friends involved.
Yeah, if you have, you know, if you have 99,000 fans or friends or so that would like to follow us, that's fine. If you pick up the slack for the other people, it's much more likely we'll get to 100,000. So that was my first. So did you ever answer? I mean, did you say how long you'd stay up there?
Yeah,
like a day maybe.
A day, yes. I will not sleep up there.
Okay, so you'd get up at the crack of dawn and you'd stay up late, but then once you were about to fall asleep, you'd tap out. Even if you're talking about, I mean, you're talking about prizes worth $25,000, $30,000 possibly.
Yeah.
You wouldn't sleep up on a roof for $25,000 or $30,000?
If I'm getting, yeah, but I'm not going to win because the one guy will stay up there 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I'm not saying can you outlast these other guys. I'm saying how long would you stay up there? Like, you know, what's your the longest you could do that to get a Chevy Chevette 1982, mobile home and a vacation, fabulous vacation. Let's say Orlando, Florida.
Well, man.
Exactly.
I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time dealing with, okay, I mean, I guess I could, like, strap myself
sure
through the billboard for sleeping.
Am I allowed to have some sort of strapping mechanism?
Right, like, I want to be strapped in, like, but then that's, you know, then that carries its own problems. I mean, what if the billboard catches on fire?
Oh, there's so many problems with this. Right, exactly. Then what if the billboard catches on fire and you're strapped to it and you go up like a Roman candle? You have to take stuff like that into account when you're talking about situations like this. There's X factors everywhere. You got to be prepared for them.
Yeah, if you're going to be spending the night on a billboard, you have to think all the way through it. You don't just hop up. You don't just hop up the ladder and go, okay, let's see what happens.
You don't just hop up the ladder, chain yourself to it, and then let's say, let's see where this goes. What's the worst that can happen? Sing, it can be so bad.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that.
What if bandits come up there and like try to rob you? What if wild animals like crawl up the ladder?
Oh God! Yeah.
Do you defend your turf or do you just dive down into the freeway?
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. If there's like a wild raccoon up there.
Yeah. Seriously, there's no graceful way. What if like a bird comes and starts pecking at you?
Right, and you're chained to this building.
You're just chained, like Prometheus, chained to the mountain with a bird picking at his liver for giving fire to the people.
Right, yeah.
Just like that.
And I'd be hollering for the other contestants to come get me out of these chains.
But there's this damn partition between us, so they can't really easily interact with me.
More importantly, they're trying to win too.
Right, they're like, they just, it's like that, that experiment where, you know, people would, like, push a button and you think you're shocking somebody through the wall and stuff, but they would do it. And anyway, even though the person's screaming in pain, they just would kind of try to tune you out. They'd just be like, it'll be over. He'll be dead soon. And then I won't have to listen to this bird pecking his eyes out while he's chained to this billboard. And then I'll be that much closer to winning that Chevette. Oh, God. Man, I haven't even gotten to the second question yet.
Oh, my God. This one's for the children.
We got to call up the lyrics to that in a minute.
I looked up, by the way. I see a 1981 Chevy Chevette for $3,500.
Well, we're not going to screw the guy over and get him an outdated model. We're going to get him an 82.
Well, I don't see an 82 right now.
It's like, Dalton, we got good news for you. We got a 1981 Chevy Chevette for you. We know you've had a felony on your record for the last 35 years. You were screwed out of this, humiliated in the national media. But we are going to give you a Chevette. Not quite as good of one as we were intending to. We were intending to give you one that was only 36 years old. But in fact, we're going to give you one that's 37 years old. Why the hell does that cost $3,500, by the way?
Well, 84. We could get 84 for $3,690.
This seems expensive to me.
Well, I mean, if we split it, that's $1,800 each.
I'm not saying I won't do it to get.
If 100,000 fans, we're going to be making so much in. Advertising that.
And appearance fees. Think about the parties we're going to be getting paid to go to.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we'll probably be, like, DJing at, like, clubs, at, like, big, like, clubs in Las Vegas.
We probably would be just DJing, because both of us have done tons of DJing. Probably the biggest, the most obvious offshoot, if we were to get 100,000 followers on Facebook, is the amount of DJing gigs the two of us would get in clubs.
In Vegas.
I'd just be like, in Vegas, just, all of a sudden the phone's just ringing off the hook. Hey, listen, you guys have never DJed before, but we were hoping you could spin a couple sets at this meth club.
Yeah, it's a...
meth club.
The rooftop pool.
Meth clubs, yeah. They're huge in Vegas, I think, these meth clubs. Anyway, second question for you. And you're right, I'm not saying I wouldn't pay for half of it. I'm just saying it's steep. I thought we could get one cheaper, but it's not like I wouldn't put in the money. I mean, I'm going to honor this deal that we've made with the public. Anyway, the second question is this. How much would I have to pay you to stay up on a billboard above the freeway for 261 days, including through the winter? So now it's an issue of, like, obviously you wouldn't do it for the prizes that were there. But I'm saying to you, it can be done. These guys have done it. They would have been willing to do it even longer. Obviously, they're different guys than us, different circumstances than us. How much money would have to be on the line for you to live up on a billboard for 261 days? Now, keep in mind, you have a kid. You have a wife. You could talk to them, like you could shout down 30 feet down to them, and people did that. They had conversations with people and stuff. But,
right, well,
you know.
You've got cell phones.
Yeah, we have cell phones. Okay, let's say you could use cell phones.
We could still do the podcast while I was up there.
We would still do the podcast while you were up there. Yeah, right. So a little easier today. We can use cell phones, stuff like that.
I think that's another way of, you know, from a promotional perspective, I think that's another way to get the podcast big is that you and I both agree to do this, and we podcast while we're up there in our respective states. Obviously, I'm not going to ask for you to come all the way down here.
I would if the price was right, but I mean, remember, there's been some headway into stunts like this when we were going to spend the night in the outfield at the Delmarva Shorebirds Stadium. Very similar, kind of a similar promotion. Similar buzz in the media about it.
Yeah, did we talk about this on the show before?
I don't know. We've done a lot of shows.
Yeah, we worked for a sports radio station, which I do think we've told you about. And there was a thing where the Delmarva Shorebirds, the Orioles single A affiliate, was interested in having us do some sort of thing. Well, the radio station was trying to get them to have us on to kind of boost up our ratings. But they didn't really know what to do, and we presented the idea of why don't we sleep in the outfield?
Right. Which they kind of gave us like a tentative okay on, but probably like hadn't thought it through.
No, because it didn't make any sense.
It sure didn't.
I mean, from a promotional perspective, who cares if there are two people sleeping in the outfield?
Who cares? We're not like the Kardashians or something. Yeah, right. It's like, you know, it'd be one thing if Kanye and Kim Kardashian were sleeping in the outfield, but you know, there were double digit number of people that knew who we are in the world.
Right. And we weren't even going to be recording from out there. We were just going to be sleeping.
No, we were just going to be there. Like, if someone happened to drive by and peer over the chain link fence, they might have seen us out there.
Asleep.
But the likelihood of someone happening to do that, listening to our show, finding out that was going on, and then coming to check us out and just kind of observe us in our natural habitat.
Like animals in the wild.
Just the odds of that happening so low.
Yeah, as you can see now, as you can see from our conversation today, promotionally, we're so much smarter than we used to be. I mean, now we're saying...
You can tell by how big we are.
Yeah, 100,000 followers, we buy a new Chevy Chevette. That's a stroke of brilliance, sleeping in the outfield in front of no one and no one knowing that we're there, not marketing brilliance. So you can just see how we've sort of evolved. I think it's a good... It shows how we've learned from experiences like that, experience of not sleeping in the outfield.
What's your figure? How much money to stay up on a billboard 30 feet above a busy freeway for 261 days, including through the winter? It's a daunting task, right?
Yeah. I'd say $10 million.
$10 million. I'm sure I would do it for less than $10 million, but that's a big ask.
Yeah,
it's a big ask. I would need it to be an amount of money that would like set my family, for, if not for life, like for, you know, 20 years or something. I'd probably do it for, probably $1 million, $1.5 million.
Yeah, I mean, you're like that. You're a cheap bastard on this kind of, on these kind of things.
Well, I could really use the money. I could really use the money. That's why it's going to hurt to buy half of this Chevette when it comes. But I'm going to make it back in DJing fees. I mean, in like weeks, probably. How would your wife feel if she found out you were going to be moving to the top of a billboard for 261 days?
Oh, God, thrilled.
You don't get the money. You don't get the money up front, by the way. You only get it when you're done.
Right. Yeah, sure.
And you don't get a dime if you pull out after like 200 days.
Right, yeah.
It's not like it's prorated.
No. I mean, as long as if I had my computer up there and I could still do work and stuff. I think I could do it for $10 million. I mean, again, the issue is going to be being chained to it.
You don't want to like smoke up there or anything, catch the place on fire.
Well, we're living here in Allentown, and they're closing all the factories down. Out in Bethlehem, they're killing time.
On October 7th, 1916, Georgia Tech took on Cumberland University in a game of college football. Cumberland had discontinued its football program before the season began, but they had already scheduled the game with Tech. And Tech's coach, John Heisman, told them he'd pay them $500 if they'd honor their commitment, but would charge them $3,000 if they didn't.
Hmm. Gotta honor your commitments.
Right. So Cumberland sent a ragtag team down to Atlanta for the game. Cumberland had beaten Georgia Tech a few months earlier in baseball, 22-0, and Heisman was also the coach of the baseball team. He was furious and vowed revenge. Georgia Tech beat Cumberland 222-0.
Totally one-sided affair.
At halftime, they were up 126-0, and Heisman gave a famous speech in the locker room. "You're doing all right, team. We're ahead. But you just can't tell what those Cumberland players have up their sleeves. They may spring a surprise. Be alert, men. Hit them clean, but hit them hard."
That's inspiring.
Yeah. Now, you've coached kids' sports before.
Yeah.
Let's move you up a few years. Let's make you a college football coach.
Okay.
What do you tell your college team in the other locker room that is losing 126-0 at halftime?
Well, it doesn't sound like it was – it's a fair question, but it doesn't sound like it was so much a college football team. It sounds to me like you're indicating they, like, brought people in from the streets and stuff.
Well, they basically had a few guys left over from the team the year before, and then they threw a few fraternity brothers in.
Right.
And kind of put a ragtag team together. Apparently, they tried to convince some Vanderbilt players, the schools from Tennessee, they tried to convince some Vanderbilt players to play with them, but they wouldn't go for it.
I mean, 126-0, assuming you're kicking all extra points, that's 18 touchdowns. That's really just moving the ball at a torrid pace.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would say, you know, when he says you never know what those Cumberland players might have up their sleeve. But the real question is, what might you have up your sleeve?
Right.
To give yourself a chance to come back from 126 points down and a half in a football game against a D1 team. What would you have to have up your sleeve? Obviously, like a weapon.
Sure. I mean, more than just a weapon. It's going to have to be like some sort of explosive device.
That's a weapon.
Right, I know, but I'm saying, like, not just, you won't just have, like, a saber or a knife or something. That won't even make a difference.
No,
like
if you happen to hack up, like, three players on Georgia Tech with your saber, you still would lose big.
Right, yeah, very limited impact. But if you were getting tackled by 10 of the 11 players on Georgia Tech, because that's probably what happened on every play, and you set yourself off.
The offensive line work was just horrendous for Cumberland. Okay, all right, let's ask another one. Let's say if we got a group of our childhood friends together, you know, like say the guys in our fantasy football league, stuff like that, and maybe a few other guys who aren't in the league. Let's say we got 25, 30 of our high school friends together and threw together a football team. What do you think the score would be if we played the Georgia Tech football team, like, let's say, like, you know, in a couple months, in an actual football game, what would the score be? Would it be worse or better than 222?
222-0.
Okay. Would we, over under, would we lose by 222 points or less?
I think that's a fair line. I think that we would probably go under because I think, like, once they cross, like, 150, I think the coach would have called off the dogs. Since our baseball team.
Let's say that the Georgia Tech coach, for some reason, has a real problem with us. Like, you and me specifically.
Right. Yeah, he's got real hard on for the two of us.
Just has not really ever cared for us.
We don't even know.
Like the cut of our jib.
We just don't know where we crossed him, but we just know that we did somewhere along the way.
Yeah, and so, like, it's not – if they get up 100 points, it's not, like, a guarantee he's going to be like, okay, they've had enough. Like, he might really try to stick it to us.
And we're playing with our friends, like, at our current age.
Yeah, so like Frank and Peter and Willie and Matt Walker and, you know, those guys. None of whom are, like, amazing athletes or anything like that, and all of whom are 40-plus.
Right. Oh, man.
I mean, can you imagine the devastation?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we'd probably, like, probably three or four of us would die. And everybody else would be – I mean, we'd have to carry a lot of players.
Yeah, we'd have to have like 80 players probably.
Yeah, because, I mean, we'd just be – it would be like, you know
– people who are like fringe friends of ours, like acquaintances.
It would just be carried off – like three or four guys carried off on a stretcher like every play.
But we're just trying to keep it within 222.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's a very fair line because, man – do they score on every single play? I have to think they do, right?
Who on this team's going to tackle them? You? Me? We're going to tackle one of these guys, like, coming out of the backfield? And by the way, that's assuming like that we're not just getting blocked and knocked on our ass. Like, let's assume that somehow just one of us finds ourselves with a clear shot on the running back as he's running towards us like a freight train. Are you really going to be able to take him out?
No, I'm going to be like a kicker. I'm just going to lie on the ground and hope he trips over me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's conceivable we could run into each other, and I'm big enough where maybe he might fall off his feet. But, I mean, the cost for me making a hit like that would probably be I'd be out for the game, like at least.
Oh, you'd be out for years.
Years.
You wouldn't play another game for 2 years.
I wouldn't play another Division I college football game for years at the age of 41, having never played organized football.
Well, that's why the scenario is slightly plausible, is because none of us have used any of our...
If there's one phrase that I would use to describe this situation, it's slightly plausible.
Right. I mean, we all have 4 years of eligibility left, so... Don't never say never.
I'm not saying never.
Let me tell you something. If we get 100,000 Facebook followers, I will formally write the Georgia Tech Dean of Students and request that we play their football team in an exhibition this winter.
Certified mail. We'll put a copy of the letter on the internet so you can see we're not just blowing smoke out our ass here. We're going to do this. We're going to contact this guy. We're going to send him a nice note and ask if this is something we could put together. And all it's going to take on your part is 100,000 Facebook follows, likes.
I mean...
And a 5-star review on iTunes.
Yeah. Well, what did you say earlier? What percentage are we there already?
We're very close to half of 1%.
See, we're already...
Very close.
1/200th of the way there.
Right.
We're basically at 1/222nd of the way there.
That's the hardest 200th, is the first.
Right.
200th is always the hardest.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. First 200, that's the one. That's getting off the ground's the hard part. Now it's all a cakewalk. Right. All you have to do is your part. Get 200 friends to join us. And once you do that, and that means all of you, and once you do that, not only are we buying a brand new 1982 Chevy Chevette and driving it to Allentown, but then we're going to buy a whole fleet of Chevettes.
This is getting more and more plausible.
And driving them down like Sherman marching on Atlanta, except the end result will be just the opposite.
Right. It would be if Sherman marched on Atlanta and he and all of his friends were killed.
Right. So, again, just think about that when you're deciding what to do with your next few days, whether you want to spend it on yourself or spend it on helping us get followers, because there's a lot. We're offering a lot right now.
This is, by the way, way more than we've ever offered on this show. Like, all we've ever offered before is our time and our, you know, hit and miss sense of humor, I guess you'd have to say it. Quirkiness. But right now, we're offering actual material things. We're offering automobiles. We're offering great entertainment as far as if you want to see a football game between. By the way, how many of our friends do you think would agree to do this just like because we promised it on the air? Like, what are the odds we could get Frank to just be like, yeah, sure, I'll go. I'll play safety in a game against Georgia Tech, like a bunch of 20-year-olds?
Well, the best part's going to be us cajoling them. Like, well, they're going to be like, well, what are we getting paid? And we're like, well, we're not. It's a college game.
We'll just be like, whoa, I didn't realize everything was all about money for you. You've changed, man.
Yeah.
20 we really years. Need to get on them about how much they've changed.
Yeah. Like how 20 years ago they would have killed for this opportunity. And look at them. Now they're fat and out of shape. So then it would be like, see, here's the thing. Here's where we make our money is on the back end.
Where are we going to make our money on this? I'm dying to know. I've been waiting this whole time to find out where's the money. Where's the financial opportunity here?
With the film rights.
Right. Well. Sure. That's actually a fair point. The film rights might be worth something.
I mean, the fact that, like, you know, these guys in their early 40s decide to take on a, you know, top 50 Division I college football program. I mean, that pretty much writes itself.
And the coach of that football program, by the way, hates them both personally.
Yeah.
He's like telling his players to like hit us below the knee and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Chop blocks.
Yeah, like they have to play dirty to hurt us.
Right. Because a good, solid, just like, you know, shoulder pad in my chest hit from one of these Division I guys, I would just pop right back up from.
Right. If you're going to hurt me, you better play dirty, pal.
Right, because this body, I'm carved out of granite here.
Yeah.
Go right now, pause the podcast, go like This Week in Worthless Knowledge on Facebook, and that'll get us one step closer to realizing this dream that's been a dream of ours for, I don't know, a few minutes now.
Right, and I want you to then send a message to your 200 closest friends, and I know this is getting a little bit picky, but I'd like for each of them to be a personalized message.
Handwritten?
I don't want just some stock message. Yes. I don't want just some stock message that you send out to everybody. Hey, I like this podcast. That doesn't resonate with people. What resonates is you getting personal. And like Nat said, I prefer that you handwrite it, mail it to 200 of your closest friends.
And don't write it sloppy.
No.
You know, take some pride when you're writing these 200 letters. Take some pride. Make sure it's good penmanship. Maybe include a picture of your kids. Catch up a little bit. Say, hey, we haven't talked in a while. You know, little Ronnie is doing a great job in school. By the way, there's this podcast. We'd love it if you would like it on Facebook. That's just what this whole thing is a means to achieve.
I mean, would a few calligraphy classes before you start writing it be the worst thing for you?
Would that kill you? Jesus. It's like we've lost all manners, all decency, all courtesy. None of these to whom it may concern mass emails, chain letters, if you will. But if you want this to happen, act like you want it to happen.
I want you to sign up for a calligraphy class. Take 3 or 4 until you feel disciplined in your handwriting.
If you don't feel good after 3 or 4, sign up again. Take another 3 or 4.
Then I want
you to half-ass this calligraphy thing.
Then I want you to spend $100 in stamps, and I want you to mail out 200 letters, all of them handwritten. And, I mean, you're going to feel great when you're done.
Yeah, you will.
That's the thing. It seems like we're doing this for us, but we're really doing it for you.
Right. This is more for you to find yourself than for us to achieve international fame.
Right. Well, that's what this podcast is all about. It's about you finding yourself. And we take a long route to get there. You know, we might talk about college football games and Chevy Chevettes, but at the end of the day, this one's for the fans.
It is, as Donnie Wahlberg told us. It's funny how seamlessly we've managed to shift between a blowout college football game and insisting that our very few loyal fans that we have sign up for calligraphy classes at their own expense. Just immediately, as soon as you're done with the podcast.
Yeah, because I'm
going to need you to do that.
Well, we need to make that clear. We're not covering the cost of the calligraphy classes. I don't want people to take them and then say, hey, you owe me $75. And then we say, well, no, we don't.
We are in talks with a few of the better calligraphy classes around the country for some sort of a discount coupon. Yeah. If you type in TWIWK at checkout, you will save as much as 10% off the registration fee. Right. At least that's the deal that we have in the works right now.
Yeah,
again, and that's with the two biggest calligraphy school classes in the country. There's one in LA, there's one in New York. You're going to need to get to one of those locations.
Right. But
they're the best. As far as calligraphy goes, these are the gold standard.
Right. And just to be clear, you're going to have to pay for your own board, your own lodging, and your own travel.
But the calligraphy class itself, you'll get 10% off on. If you use the coupon, if we're able to make this deal go through, which is very much in the air right now.
Right.
This
yeah.
is not, I don't want to lie to you and say it's a slam dunk. It's not.
Yeah, there's
late.
Our
lawyers are talking now, and things are not looking promising. I just wanted you to know we're trying to get some of this cost covered for you. Shaking off the dust, holding back the fear. Within, I've been spending my time walking the line. Someone near-
where heaven starts, but never straying too far from sin. And now the doctor is in.
On October 8th, 807 AD, Frankish forces defeat Emperor Charles the Bald. Now, here's the weird thing. Charles the Bald had a full head of hair.
Flowing.
It's believed he was called Charles the Bald, ironically, because he was so hairy.
Hmm.
So my question to you is, would you rather go down in the history books as Nat the Bald or Nat the Hairy?
I don't love either of them, actually.
Well, of course. I mean, if it was Nat the Bald or Nat the Great, it'd be easy.
I don't know. I guess Nat the Bald, because then you could see any picture of me and see that I wasn't, and then people would be like, what the hell? If you said Nat the Hairy, it's like you'd look at me, and then they would just, you would just assume that under my shirt there was just nothing but a mat of, you know, it'd be like, imagine if that guy took his shirt off. Like, it'd be like he was wearing a sweater vest.
Right. But you got to remember, like, for me, looking through Wikipedia, and they post the entry, all I see is the word Charles the Bald.
Right.
I click on that to discover that he wasn't actually bald. So it's not like people are going to be like, oh, this Nat the Hairy or this Nat the Bald, was he bald or hairy? They're just going to assume you're bald unless they really do some in-depth research on you.
Well, and that would be frustrating. I guess I would say, as far as things that people could erroneously believe about me, like if somebody thought that I was bald, it would be an annoyance at most. I mean, I feel like I could disprove that pretty easily. And as far as if anyone's like looking at my name in 1,000 years and just assume I was bald, I think I could live with that, just because like it's unlikely, other than this podcast, like there's unlikely that in 1,000 years anybody's going to be talking about me at all, except in the context of, you know, right, some of the things we've discussed.
Podcast will live forever. I mean, that's the beauty of it.
What do you think we would have to do to get this podcast included in like one of those things they shoot out into space to try to contact alien civilizations?
Right, like that gold record.
Yeah, like something that would represent us, you know, and say, hey, here's a little slice of what's going on Earth. And then, right, you know, have maybe, you know, not much. If there's an hour recording, you know, not much of it, maybe like 20 minutes of it or so would be us.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think if, you know, if we got right around 100,000 likes, I think that we could probably approach somebody with NASA. And
so we're agreeing to approach people. This is what we're doing for. Our currency right now is likes on Facebook, and what we're offering you is we'll approach people. Like, we've already offered to approach the athletic director at Georgia Tech. We will approach him. We'll right. write him a note. We'll approach him. We'll hand it to him. Right now, we're offering. Who would we approach to see about getting our podcast blasted into space?
Well, I think we
just Elon Musk.
No, well, that's not a bad idea. I was thinking more officially and like going down to Cape Canaveral and then just kind of asking
just
around.
Just the day of the launch and just seeing like, hey, what are the chances like we could get this included in the load that you're blasting up into space?
Right. Or just,
do you think they take just like kind of small packages from strangers often and just put them in rockets that they're blasting into space just because we ask nicely?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see why.
We'd make a little small talk first. We'd be like, hey, how you doing? How's this for work? Is this interesting? Is this fun? Hey, listen, I got a question for you.
Great launch weather.
Listen, would you take this package and put it up near in the nose cone of the rocket? And just when you blast it off, we sure would appreciate it. Don't unwrap it. Don't look at it. It's just a recording of us on our podcast. Would you be willing to do that for us, for a pal, since I made small talk with you for 45 seconds?
Well, yeah.
Also,
well,
like our Facebook page, by the way.
Yeah, well, I would show them on Facebook. I'd be like, oh, just to show we're legit. Check out all these likes.
Right. We have 520 of them. Because
No, I'm not doing this till we get 100,000.
Oh, because, yeah, right.
I'm not just doing this on the
whim. Do you think the chances of somebody taking a package, like if you just show up on launch day, first of all, I don't know how you would get in the facility or get close enough where you could actually hand something to one of the people there. But do you think if we were able to prove that we had 100,000 Facebook likes, that would increase our chances of them taking the package?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, decrease the chances of us being arrested?
No. I mean, I think we'd still get arrested. But once we showed him we had 100,000 followers, he'd be like, ah, these guys check out.
So so we'd get arrested, but probably not beaten in prison.
Well, I don't know what the other prisoners would do.
No, I mean by the cops.
Oh.
The other prisoners wouldn't even know what to, they'd be like, wow, we're just in a cell with these just super famous guys.
Yeah.
Lay out the red carpet for them.
Well, yeah, we'd tell them. I mean, we wouldn't be able to show them because we'd have our phones on.
Listen, I don't have a phone or a computer on me, but if I did and you were to look up Facebook, you would be like, wow, these guys are legit.
100K, my friend.
100,000. It's like staring at us, just hating us more with every word coming out of our mouths.
Yeah, but, you know, it took a while. But anyway, do you know where I could find a 1982 Chevy Chevette?
At a reasonable price. Also, would you be interested in playing in a college football game against Georgia Tech? You look like you're a pretty big guy.
Hey, you're pretty well built. You got a lot in the yard. Then I could go see us going under
if we brought in a bunch of convicts, because that would be an interesting way for this to all come full circle. We end up, because we went to a rocket launch and tried to smuggle audio recording of us on our podcast blasted into space, we end up in close proximity with a bunch of really, really serious, you know, maximum security prison type convicts who we then recruit to play on the team, thus covering the 220 point spread.
Right. You guys know how tough those criminals are in Cape Canaveral.
Cape Canaveral football team of criminals in the county jail versus the Division I Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets football team. Spread drops from 220 to 185, just like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'd be a whole different thing.
It would be. No less fun to watch either.
No. Anyway, you'd go down as Nat the Hairy.
No, I said I'd go down as Nat the Bald. We're just talking a little bit about the Cape Canaveral County Jail and the element of folks that you would find in it. And it occurred to us, do you think that the Cape Canaveral County Jail is filled with guys that wanted to be astronauts but couldn't quite cut it? And just, it's like, kind of like if you go to Hollywood and you can't quite make it as an actress, maybe you become a prostitute or a stripper or a...
Yeah, or like, well, stripping's legal, but like if you went out... And then you, and you didn't have your big break and you were hard up for money because it's not cheap to live around Hollywood. So, you know, you started maybe dealing in petty crime. You did a couple drug runs here and there. Did a couple of, I won't say strong arm robberies, but you committed some robbery. You did a little bit of B&E, but not a lot.
And I think in the course of these robberies, like, you used some of your skills in mathematics and engineering that you learned on your path to becoming an astronaut that just at the last minute went slightly askew. Like, really good at, like, designing break-ins.
Oh, yeah. And I think that people, when they catch you, just can't even believe it. I mean, you're so trim and handsome.
I think that it's got to be hard for you living in that county jail where you've lived for the last 20 years just looking out that barred window. You have a great view of the launch. And you just see them going off and you just think the whole time, like, that could have been me.
Yeah.
I was so close.
That's the irony of the Cape Canaveral jail.
Right.
That it looks out on the launch pad. So you have people who...
It does look right out onto the launch pad. Kind of is a cruel irony. Hey, let's really screw with these guys that were almost astronauts, didn't quite make it. Let's have big spacious windows that they can look out. That every other part of the jail is real dump, but this part you can look right at it just like you're watching it on the TV, and just see it. Because like probably 85% of the people in that jail like are guys that were almost astronauts.
Oh, at least.
Yeah, and then us.
Right. Yeah. I mean, how many guys are going to? you know, how many hardened criminals are going to Cape Canaveral to try to pull stunts? Not that many. It's going to be more guys who just made a couple bad mistakes, had a couple too many cold ones, and next thing you know, they're committing very minor crimes. I mean, you're talking about like maybe stealing like potato chips.
Very, very minor crimes. I can't stress how minor these crimes are that these guys are doing. 5, 10, 15 years in the county jail overlooking the launch station at Cape Canaveral for. These are such minor crimes, minor offenses, but the judge there is such a hard ass.
I mean, it's just a,
and he hates astronauts.
The sentencing guidelines at Cape Canaveral are so draconian. I mean, you just wouldn't even believe it. All, the point is, long story short.
What's the point?
If you're looking to commit any petty crimes, and you want to be an astronaut,
and you have aspirations of going into space as your job,
don't let those two worlds collide in Cape Canaveral.
Don't be seduced by the swirling temptations there are around the lives of an astronaut in Cape Canaveral.
Yeah, I don't want you to be seduced by the siren song of that sweet astronaut city. Where so many dreams are realized, but also so many dreams are crushed.
Right. All right. Well, we're going to wrap things up there. Great episode. Great comeback episode.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like, you know, well on our way to probably getting those 100,000 likes.
Well, I'll tell you what. If we can just get to, like, 575.
Okay.
I'll be happy. But if we get to 100K, we can change some lives.
Ours, for starters.
Yeah, sure. But with all their newfound DJing success.
In Las Vegas. The big city. Oh my god, that was great. The plan right now is that we're going to record again in a week or two. And put out the, you know, second part of October. I already have at least one good end of October story. I know Johnny's been working on those as well. So we'll be back, actually. You know, I know it's been a big, long break. Tell your friends. Get them to like our page. You know, any donations or anything like that you want to make. We don't actually have a mailing address, so we can't really help you with that. But just get in touch with us. And if you want to, you know, lavish us with cash and gifts, we'd be happy to take those off your hands.
Yeah, we prefer gifts.
I'm not really into cash so much, but I like little knickknacks, kind of. Stuff I could clutter up my house with.
Yeah, my wife loves it too. She loves knickknacks.
No. She does. She hates cash. She hates cash, though.
Yeah, certainly does. All right, folks. Well, we'll see you. We'll hopefully talk to you again soon.
All right. My name is Not the Truth Jones.
I'm Johnny Good Times.
Later.
Take it. Checker, 1, 2, checker. Oh yes, sir. I diggity shake those shorts. I'm not the fella. Your mic can even act. Stella, no Stella. You diggity comes with a bum rush. Baby, no static. I diggity knows more kids than baby. So diggity, hey, not the way, but I got props. I diggity bust rhymes like slick, rip, bust shots. So when I diggity freak the funk, I be the ill funk freaker. I diggity stole the apple from this bum named Bonita. So diggity rubber dub, I got the lip to make you flip. Bustin' heads with Eric Sherman and my nigga Paris Smith. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, numb star. I diggity pump up like we rock pumps. I diggity freak the stunt to make a camel lose his humps and chumps. So diggity, where's the beef, chief? He figured it fits the mold like the gold that's on his teeth. I rock some, I sock some, I drop some. So diggity, ready, set down. Put one, put two. I diggity, dot my eyes and cross my diggity teeth, bro. I swiggity, swing more action than Hawaii 5-0. Microphone, check, microphone, check, microphone, check, microphone, check, microphone, check, microphone, check, check, microphone, 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 check, microphone,
microphone.